Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, the Bert Show.
It's always a little heartbreaking when you see the signs around the neighborhood that say, like, lost cat or lost dog. You're like, I feel so bad. What can I do, right? But how about when you lose your pet and you know where it is because your neighbor stole it? Rachel, good morning. You're on the Bert Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
All right, you wanted our help to try to get your cat back, but you already know where this cat is.
I do. Yeah, I sure do.
Bring it.
So, I rescued Charlotte, my cat, this summer from our neighborhood. She just kind of was feral, and, you know, after some coaxing and tins of cat food, she became this indoor-outdoor cat. I got her collar, so she, you know, has my name and my number, posted pictures of her on my social media. Like, it's a very well-documented fact that Charlotte is my cat. And nobody else was stepping up to take care of her, and I wasn't just going to let her just be on her own. So, you know, not that she needed taking care of, but we bonded this summer, and, you know, I really like her, and she hangs out with me, and we have a good time. But, two doors down for me is this quintessential Karen. Okay. She yells at the kids when they go on her yard. She's constantly filing complaints with the HOA. She's just, you know, a generally unpleasant woman. Mm-hmm. And I had seen Charlotte, hadn't seen her in a few days. And so I, you know, went on the neighborhood Facebook group and was like, hey, has anyone seen? And one person commented that they didn't realize Charlotte was my cat because they thought they saw her in this Karen's window when they were out for walking. So I don't know. I believe this neighbor wholeheartedly. Why would she lie? And this Karen is always up to no good. So, you know, then she enters the chat, as you will, and starts going off saying that this is her cat and leave her out of it, and starts carrying on. Like, come on. Like, why would you freak out if you didn't do anything wrong? So I just went straight up to her house, and she lied straight to my face and said she doesn't have Charlotte and there's really nothing I can do. Like, I don't know what to do. So can you please help?
All right. So there's going to be some wiggle room built in here even before we give you the results, because Tommy here, I think, reached out to her. I'm pretty sure reached out to her already. The wiggle room here is that this was a wild cat, right? But you're the one that took it in and kind of tamed it all down. But it was a wild cat, and Karen knew that this was the wild cat in the neighborhood also.
Yeah, I mean, she was always around, but it's not like I just took her in 2 days ago. Like, it's been months now, mm-hmm. and she has a collar, and she comes to and from my house. Like, she can go out, but she always comes home. Like, my house is her home.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of creepy, because I do feel like we have a cat napping here, because this was a feral cat that became an indoor-outdoor cat that you have obviously loved on, and now Karen, if the neighbor is accurate in seeing Charlotte in the window, she's holding the cat hostage by not letting it go outside. This is like, because if this is an indoor-outdoor cat, mm-hmm. if Karen will let the cat go outside, I guarantee you, she'd go over to Rachel's house.
Yeah, Rachel, if I'm in your position as a fellow cat mom, I'm calling the police on myself, because I'm going to do something off the camera.
I want to read back.
Yeah. Calling you first.
I want to report a crime before it happens. It's going to be me. All right, so you asked us to reach out to the neighbor. I will turn it now on over to our show director, Tommy, who does all the legwork.
Oh, there's nothing more I love more. They're messing with the neighborhood Karen. As a, I don't know, 5-6 year president of the neighborhood HOA.
How many Karens you got in your hood?
You know, right now I would say zero.
Really?
Yeah, but there have been Karens in the past that have popped
got
up.
Rid of them.
Yeah, I was like, I was about to ask. what happened to them?
They all go missing.
They've calmed down. It's been quiet, and I probably just woke up the beast. I'm knocking on wood.
Yep.
All right, so I messaged the Karen neighbor on Facebook and came up with a ruse to get her to confess to having this cat, Charlotte. Because I don't know if you know this, there's nothing Karens love more than free stuff.
That is very true.
So I wrote her on Facebook. I said, Happy Holidays. The Bird Show has partnered with a company. I won't say the name because they haven't paid us for advertising, but it rhymes with Huey. And dogs and cats love Huey. And I often see my neighbors put the Huey boxes out because
we get Huey boxes too.
Yeah. They're really good. So I reached out to Huey to gift deserving pet owners in the Charleston metro area, because this is where this is all going down, with free pet food for the holidays. Do you have a dog or cat in your home?
Uh-huh.
Would you like to receive a free case of organic pet food?
Oh.
Please message us back, and we will be happy to send some pet goodies your way. Karen, as Karens often do, almost immediately wrote back.
Because they're on Facebook 24/7.
I have a cat. I would like to receive the pet food, but I will not, in capital letters, not be signing up for any emails. I don't need more junk emails. It's her Karen attitude. So I wrote back, fantastic. I was like, put the extra sugar on. It'd be our pleasure to ship you a case of organic cat food to your residence. No email required. Please reply with your address and the cat's preferred name or nickname. We like to address our packages to the pets.
This has turned into a war of the cat food. It's not War of the Roses, but it's the same type deal.
It kind of is.
And Karen stepped it up another Karen notch. I need to know you will not be selling my information to third parties. I also don't need more junk mail in my mailbox. And I said, you have our word. We will not be selling your information. We will only be using your address to mail you free cat food. And she said, my address is blank and the cat's name is Charlotte.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I said, thank you. You can expect delivery in 5 to 7 business days. Happy holidays. As a side note, since I now have her address, I have went on and I have signed her up for various things that she'll be receiving. I've been doing it all morning and I will continue to do so after this call.
We call that Karen Karma.
Yeah. All right, Rachel,
you guys are amazing. So I will be at her door.
Yeah, okay. Take pictures of her and all the mail she gets and send them to me.
So I only wonder, I say go get your cat, but like Tommy was saying, as Karens do, if she does go over there and gets her cat, will Karen call the cops?
Well, no, because she has in writing. Like, she has documentation on her social media and with the cat caller that was her property. And now she has in writing this Karen admitting that she has a cat by the name of Charlotte. I'm not kidding you. I mean, and Abby, maybe you back me up on this. I would go over and knock over. I would barge in that woman's home and I would get my cat.
Yeah. If someone has stolen my child, I will go to heaven and earth to wreak havoc on their life until they give me my kitty back. Or do you let them all do it?
First thing I'd ask is which child? I go get your cat, Rachel, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Right, well done, dude. Nicely done.
Totally done. And another Christmas miracle.
And if you need me, I love Charleston. I will happily come down there and take that cat back from there.
The Bird Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I'm no different. I think like most people, you probably have one stressful meltdown right before the holidays.
Maybe a couple.
I like to wait until my entire family is at the dinner table and for everyone to have 1 to 2 to 3 glasses of wine and then before I break down in front of everyone and cause a scene.
Let everybody enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have these just like little stress breakdowns right before the holidays?
Normally, no. But this year, I made up for every year I didn't.
You just let it build for 20 years before you decided to do it.
That's all it is.
I think for most people, it probably happens around the 23rd, like right before Christmas, where you're trying to get all of the presents for everybody, and then you're just pushed and pulled in a million different directions, right?
For me, it's right now because we have a couple days left of work, so it's trying to manage work, and it's trying to manage home. It's in like when you throw kids in the mix, it's trying to manage what's going on at Jimmy's school, and I can't remember the last time my husband and I had a conversation about anything that was like related, just a nice conversation with he and I, because we are two ships passing in the night right now.
I had my holiday meltdown yesterday. I'm kind of working on a truncated schedule right now because I'm leaving on Thursday, which is a week before Christmas. So I have to get everything done for Christmas. Then there's work stuff. And you know, there are just some of those days where you're just going as fast as you can to the finish line. It seems like it's an endless list of things you got to do. And then as soon as you cross one thing off your list, bing, you get an email from somebody saying they need something right now, right? Then you answer that email and you take care of that. And then, bing, you get a text. And it was just text after text after text. It's just one of those days where it was like everybody waited till yesterday, which was what, December 17th, to go, today is the day we'll hit Bert up on all the favors that he owes us. And we're going to ask for it back yesterday, right? So I'm pinging. I'm having a temper tantrum last night. And then at the end of my day, I got a perspective shift. Thank God. What a douchebag I've been. Because I had to call Bert's Big Adventure families last night and tell them that they have been selected for our 2025 trip. That is a game changer. Mm-hmm. Sure. And, you know, I'll tell you more about some of the families. And we still have to make some calls today as well. But I reached out to most of them yesterday and recorded them. But, I mean, the one that really hit me last night where I was just like, what am I stressed about, was the family I called where the Bert's Big Adventure kid rang the bell at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta yesterday, meaning he's done with his cancer treatments in the morning. And then at night, they find out that they are going to Disney World, which is a trip that they were never going to be able to go on by themselves. And I'm like, what? What am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I stressed about? Right? So there was that perspective, which I should have had earlier in the morning. And let's talk about this, what we're going to play on Friday. Which was yesterday we recorded our breaking and entering for the grandmother that you guys have helped out over the last week and a half. And it was phenomenal. It was, and we will detail for this for you guys for this on Friday. So I don't want to give too much away, but it was just watching Tommy and everybody that volunteered to bring all of those presents into that house yesterday. Not just one handful or two handfuls. There are, what, 15 volunteers there that are bringing armfuls of things into this house for a family that has nothing.
Giant plastic bins filled with decorations and Christmas presents. And knowing that every single one of those Christmas presents was donated by you guys.
That's pretty cool yesterday, right?
Like they couldn't even walk in that apartment. It was so many gifts everywhere.
We were joking during the segment that they're not going to have any place to walk because there were, what, 400 gifts that we hooked him up with, right? You guys hooked him up with. So that should have been perspective there also. So you'll get that on Friday when we play it for you, but we executed it yesterday, and I think that will help a lot of you guys out that are pretty stressed out. And speaking of stress in the holidays, here's Jackson, who is going to be celebrating the holidays alone, away from family?
Away from family. I was going to say, maybe now's not the time for me to bring this up, because that's a fresh dose of perspective for you right there. Yeah.
Well, it's not well, family is different.
Yeah, don't let any... I feel like it's important to have perspective. Is, but it's also important not to discredit your own feelings, because your feelings deserve to be validated.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't feel the same way. I don't think you should say anything at all.
Let's see what those feelings are first.
Yeah, right.
I will see myself out. This is my first Christmas that I'll be spending away from my own immediate family. For me growing up, Christmas has always been about traditions. It's been a big deal. We've done the same exact thing every year. There was one year where my parents were building a house, so we were living in an apartment, and they decided to fly us all out and visit some family out in California for one Christmas, and we as the kids took to the streets and rioted because we hated it so much. And like, for us, it's always been a big deal, and for us to keep it consistent, it's been the same thing every single year. That changes when you have a long-term relationship.
Yep.
And you have to balance these kinds of things, and so that's what I'm going through right now. And so this year's the first year where we're making actually the trek up to the Northeast to go visit her family for the week of Christmas. And so I'm already a little bit stressed out about having to travel up there, bring all the gifts, all that kind of stuff. But then there's also this added part to the entire thing where I feel like I'm ditching my family. I feel bad.
Because you are.
Because I kind of am, right? And so my girlfriend and I have had extensive conversations about how we want to balance this. You know, what throws sort of everything for a loop is that my mom's birthday and her sister's birthday are both on December 19th. Right before the holiday happens, right? My mom's birthday is a really big deal for her. Birthdays in our family are also a big deal, but hers especially, because, you know, when you have a near Christmas birthday, you tend to get forgotten a lot.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. So that means her birthday's tomorrow. Would you like to do a birthday shout out for her?
Happy birthday, Mama.
Well, that's cute. Since you're ditching them already.
What's that, Mom?
I said, since you're ditching them, at least you can say happy birthday.
Here's your present. I'm saying happy birthday on the radio.
No, we've got big plans tomorrow. She'll get a full celebration tomorrow. She's got her own thing going. And so that adds to this because they're so close. And also her sister's birthday is that same day too. So of course my girlfriend wants to go hang out with her sister for her birthday too. So there's all these moving parts that happen around the holidays for us. So we've kind of decided on this sort of back and forth schedule where we'll either spend the week before Christmas up with her family and then be able to celebrate her Christmas early with her family plus her sister's birthday. And then we'll both come home for my family's Christmas, or we'll switch it off and vice versa. What makes this year even more complicated is my brother is doing his medical residency out in California, and he's working through Christmas, so he can't come home either. And so now it's just my parents and my sister, and that makes me feel even worse about this situation.
I'm just curious. How did your mama take the news?
Ooh.
I got another question, too, also. Are they at least happy that the better brother is going to be around? The one that's a doctor?
No, he's not coming.
Oh, he's not
coming.
He can't
show.
That's the one they're really upset.
However, I haven't shared this, but one of your siblings hit me up in my DMs.
Oh, no. Oh, hey.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
That's a violation.
Yeah.
What's that about?
And they said, because you were lamenting on the air about something, and this person hit me up. They hit me up and said, you are by far the favorite, and don't let anybody say any different.
That was my sister. 100% that was my sister.
You've got a potential doctor in the family, and you're still the favorite? Now I feel bad for the brother. What else has he got to do?
Hey, I've had to work hard for this place, baby.
Anyway, what was your original question? I'm sorry.
No, how did his mama take the news?
Yeah.
Because this is going to sound so silly and trivial, but there are so many... I'm in the mommy algorithm. So many videos out there. If you are the mother of a son, one of your biggest fears is that when he gets older and he gets into a committed relationship, you lose every holiday because they end up spending it with her family and not his family. Mm. And it's a hard pill to swallow. You are obviously, I think it's very sweet. You guys are trying to figure these logistics out. Hopefully next year they get custody of you on Christmas. But I'm just curious how that combo went.
So
tell me she's not finding out now on the radio.
No. It's not that bad.
Okay.
In thinking about it now, I probably should have buttered her up, taken her out to dinner, and had like a long conversation about this. But no, my girlfriend and I took my parents to a Falcons game, and right as they dropped us off, I said, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be home for Christmas. Okay, bye.
God, as if it wasn't painful enough to watch the Falcons.
This is when they were good earlier in the season. I kind of just dropped it on her. And then I realized when it came out of my mouth that I should have prepped a little bit more for that, because she was like, hold the phone. What's going on?
Because you don't want to be a narcissistic mama and make it about you, and that, and there shouldn't be that expectation that you spend every single holiday with her.
Yes, there should be. She brought you into this world through a magical portal. She has fed you and fed you. She helped you grow. She clothed you. And you drop a bot. When was this Falcons game?
A month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. So in Q4, near Christmas, when moms are gearing up, you're like, deuces, I'm not going to be here. Thanks for the ride. Thanks for the game. Your mom hates your girlfriend now.
I back up your decision to do a drive-by with this, because when I did it, my mom put on full tears. She started letting the tears fly, and that was like one of the hardest things I ever had to deal with, was seeing my mom cry because I wouldn't be home for Christmas.
Oh, boy.
We're going through this right now with my family, too, because this will be the first time my family has any kind of separation during Christmas Day, and I was surprised at how well my mom took it, because I found out at Thanksgiving during my mental breakdown, Ben was like, yeah, we're not coming to Christmas this year, and I was like, "You're what? You're not?" And I looked at my mom, I was like, how do you feel about this? Because he's the son and the favorite child, and she goes, it's fine. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's fine. We've only spent every Christmas together for the last 27 years.
That's kind of how my sister's feeling. And so I definitely made a point to say, all right, mom, tomorrow on your actual birthday, we're going to have a big celebration for that. And then we're going to celebrate our Christmas early on Friday morning. And that's going to be that. And so we'll still have both celebrations. It's just not going to be on Christmas Day.
Gotcha.
You're a bad son.
I'm stuck on Magic Portal. You had me at Magic Portal, man.
The Burt Show.
My reaction to you guys that were surprised by this is, what the hell did you expect yesterday? The dude shot a man in broad daylight, and it was calculated. And some of you guys online yesterday, I'm watching, going like, I can't believe they gave him like this sentence. So Luigi, this is the dude that shot the CEO, Brian Thompson, from United Healthcare in New York, facing life without parole in the shooting of that CEO. And I saw I understand that the guy is the symbol for everything that's bad in insurance. But at the end of the day, it's a calculated murder, people. What did you expect?
Yeah, God, when you watch the video of him just creeping up behind him and just taking him out like that in cold blood, that's a sentence well earned, if that is ultimately what happens after he goes through the court system.
I don't know what else people were expecting to happen. Right. Like, this is exactly how I figured it was going to go.
This is all alleged. It could be his evil twin Waluigi.
Really?
Underrated joke.
Get it? Thank you. I mean, he hasn't been convicted. It could very well not be him.
Well, you can't get convicted unless you have the charges, like, you know, brought on you first. So this is the natural process of things.
These are the charges. This is the sentence he is facing. Now we're going to go to court. We'll see how his defense plays out, if they're going to take the route of insanity or not. And then the judgment will come in, and he'll get his, we'll find out if he's guilty or not guilty, and how much time he's going to be spending in prison.
I saw a lot of people online yesterday using it, but it's the principle defense. And I'm like, I've heard lawyers say that judges don't care about principle, man. They care about the law, and it is written.
I think it's just weird that people are deciding who deserves to live and who deserves to die. That's what it feels like. And from all my time watching true crime, there are people who get put and also put themselves in situations, whether it's, you know, selling or buying drugs or prostitution, et cetera. And it's giving the same energy of people who say, well, you shouldn't have put yourself in that position. You kind of got what you deserved. I don't really, you know, nobody deserves that, period. Like I would go crazy to say everybody's life has value in some capacity. So it's the whole just, that's what they deserve. Nah, man, you don't get to make that call.
Go, Cass. Go ahead. I can see you trying to put the governor on an opinion.
No, I mean, I agree with Kristen. Yeah. I mean, the CEO's life had value, several billion for his shareholders when he turned down claims. But, you know, all that aside, you can't just shoot somebody in broad daylight or darkness. That is not how the justice system works. I don't like what the CEO did. I don't like how health insurance companies, I think they are a racket, and I think they rob from the American people. But Kristen is right. There's a way things are done and people's lives are not up to you to take. You cannot be judge, jury, and executioner. We have a judicial system for that. Do I think parts of that are corrupt? Yes, also. But at the same time, this Luigi guy, like, he made a decision. He did his own form of justice. It was not sanctioned by the government. It did not follow the right rules. And there are societal rules for a reason. And now he's got to be punished. So depending on whether or not you agree with what the healthcare CEO was doing, you see Luigi as a beacon for the people who have been trampled by the healthcare industry for long enough. It does not matter. There are rules and regulations in place. People's lives have value. Everyone is entitled to their day in court, and Luigi will get that. And at the end of the day, we can sit here and debate the merits of what the health insurance company was doing and what the CEO, his part in that. At the end of the day, Kristen's right. A life is a life, and you don't get to take it just because you want to.
All right, let's continue the theme of online rage because it was directed at Rebecca yesterday.
What?
One specific Burt Show listener not happy with her take yesterday on Love Actually.
Yeah, they were not having me. I guess I went pretty hard on Love Actually.
You did, but it was deserved. It was deserved, and it was very entertaining.
I didn't realize it was such a beloved movie.
Oh, yeah. People love it.
Oh, my God. So I was telling Kristen earlier about a new kids' Christmas movie that's out on Netflix called, I think, This Christmas.
That Christmas.
That Christmas. Thank you. And there's one scene where they're talking about traditional Christmas Day, and do we want to watch an old Christmas movie on Christmas Day? And the kids are like, no! And it pans, and it's literally showing Love Actually, and that's their old Christmas movie. And I was like, I'm taking that as a personal affront. And then Rebecca's list, again, a personal affront, even though after the fact, I agree with you and you were correct.
So yesterday, Rebecca, you want to tell them about the list that you put together that has won Burt Show P1 Enraged?
Yes, I curated what I thought was a very objective list of the female victims of Love Actually, the classic Christmas movie, who in my mind were suffering basically the entire movie. I posted it on Facebook because I thought it was funny.
It was arguably one of the funniest segments we've ever had on the show.
Thank you. But Laura specifically on our Facebook page was not happy about the video. And I'll read what she said. So she said, "That was the most ridiculous 5 minutes I've ever sat through. It's a beautiful film. I've watched it since I was a kid and loved it, and so has everybody I know. Proper chick flick." Oh my God, she's British.
Proper chick flick. See, it's the British that like go hard for this movie. Yeah.
Proper chick flick. "So it's women that love this film. Romantic, sweet, and funny. And they mention the 9/11 victims just to say that the phone calls that they made knowing they were going to die were all phone calls of love, not hate. Because love actually is everywhere. Yes, there are sad bits. It would be a bit boring if it was all gooey and happy with no drama or balance of good and bad. But overall, a brilliant film. I feel sorry for people who can watch a beautiful film like that and completely miss the point, the humor, British spelled, and the meaning behind it, and then try and ruin it for everyone else. Sad people with terrible British accents."
Oh, my God. Well, that is accurate.
I will say this. Outside of the little bit of the nudge at the very end, this, to me, is a comment that we have digested and we will respond back to. This is not a blockable offense.
Absolutely not.
Yes. I mean, the last couple of days, we've been saying that, look, if you're really mean to us, forget about it. Those days are over. We're going to start wielding the block feature. This is fine. This is absolutely fine.
Listen, she loves the movie. We crapped on one of her favorite things. Yep. Of course she's going to have a response to it, like anybody would.
So I should go back and unblock her, I guess.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's F-O-R. BORHERS.com/BERT. BORHERS.com/BERT. Waitlist by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit BORHERS.com.
With Abby, it's the Burt Show's entertainment bug.
You didn't really block her, did you?
Okay. No, she did not. I want to get the parents' take on this because I feel like we're all pretty reasonably woke, and Disney did a woke thing and then unwoked it. They unwokeified it when they scrapped a transgender storyline from a new animated series intended for young adults. So Pixar has an upcoming animated series called Win or Lose. The show is all about a co-ed middle school softball team in the week leading up to their championship game. It has 8 episodes, and each one of them will center on the off-field life of one of the characters. And one of the characters is a transgender character. So they didn't scrap the transgender character, but the lines of the dialogue that alluded to or referenced their gender identity got totally scrapped. So then Disney came out and said, when it comes to animated content for a younger audience, we recognize that many parents would prefer to discuss certain subjects with their children on their own terms and timeline.
I'm going to get a lot of heat for this. And I don't want to get twisted because I believe you should live your life the way that you want to live your life to make you happy. We are on this earth for a very short period of time. We're just passing through. And if you feel like that's the way you're going to live your life, then I endorse it 100. But I will say as a parent also, there are just few times where I can sit down with my kids and not have to worry about having discussions about what we've watched or sat together on very important info. I personally think that they made the right call on that as a parent. I don't want that to be the springboard for these conversations in my world. So, yeah.
And I'll take the opposite stance. Okay. I think for many, representation matters. And seeing yourself on the screen matters. And I think for the LGBTQ plus community, and for minorities, it's been far too long that we see more of that representation. And if it makes you uncomfortable, then you probably need to delve into why it makes you uncomfortable, because it shouldn't, because those people exist and they are allowed to exist. And I feel like our kids should know they exist, because with understanding, in order to get to understanding, you have to have exposure. Exposure leads to understanding, and that's the only way we're going to get there. So if you hide these people from them, they're never going to know they exist.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love it because it gives me an opportunity to springboard and have these conversations in a way that I find appropriate with my kids, rather than having someone else tell them. That way I control the narrative and the information, and I can make sure it's accurate. But here's the thing. I don't think Bert's wrong, and I don't think Kristen's wrong. I think at the end of the day, as a parent, it is your job to know about the media your kid is consuming. Mm-hmm. And if it has themes like that that you're not ready to talk about yet, then don't let your kid watch it. End of story.
And
it's
know,
that easy.
And you have a responsibility as the parent to know that is a part of the movie and make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a weird way, I mean, because they didn't erase the character from the show, I do still feel like the representation is there. And in a weird way, it still kind of like normalizes it. Like this character still gets to be a part of the show and they don't have to feel like a token. Like they don't have to mention, you know, in every storyline that the only thing noting about this character is the fact that they're transgender. They can just be a part of the show, and it can be normalized in a way that the kids are still being exposed to it. But, you know, they get to just be a normal part of the storylines.
I will say, I do think that's like the next iteration of integration, because I read a book recently, and in the book, somebody introduced themselves and they called the character him, and he goes, "Oh, I'm non-binary." And the other character goes, "Oh, sorry, they." And that was literally the only ever discussion about this character being non-binary. And for the rest of the book, they were just referred to as they. And I loved it because it was so normal. It showcased, and this was more of a YA book, I didn't realize it at the time, young adult book, but it showcased exactly how that conversation should go, how easy it can be, how not awkward it can be. And then that character, like you said, Abby, was focused on for all the other merits that they brought to the plot, like every other cis straight character in the book. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a place for those storylines where you can like dive into the struggles that that type of character would have with those specific life experiences. But I think it's almost more important to show that, yes, that's a part of
their identity and their experience and growing up and how that provides challenges in their life. But then at the same time, we just get to see them as human. And I feel like more people need to see that kind of, persona as just not like having to be a token for some kind of like diversity check mark. We can just see them be a part of the storylines in ways that I think would actually matter to people who want to see themselves represented on screen. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
When they were thinking about making this decision about their company, they must have thought, look, this could go really well or it could go horribly wrong also. There is now a funeral home in Ohio that has become the first funeral home to get a liquor license.
My role in this position is to kind of be a party planner for dead people. You know, be more of a celebration of life than more of the multi-day traditional services, which cost a lot of money. And their inspector called me and they're like, is this Evergreen Funeral? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you would be the first funeral home to get a liquor license in the state of Ohio.
I kind of love the idea.
This is the worst idea known to man. Grief and liquor don't mix.
Already, like, really messy.
See, here's the thing is, like, when I am looking at what I would like in my funeral, I want it to be a party. I don't want people to be sitting around and all sad about, they're never going to see him again. No, man, let's think about the times that we all had together, the times that we laughed together, the times that we stumbled together, and let's make it a really good time. I would want drinks there. I don't want people all bummed out.
That's like the Irish wakes. They're like parties where you drink and you celebrate. And I told my husband, I want the same thing. Yeah. Like, I want some tears. Don't get me wrong. I'd like a few breakdowns, but I want a big party. I want a life-size cutout of me with 240s taped to my hands there in the corner, smiling. People can pose and take pictures. There's going to be booze, and it's going to be a fun remembrance party.
I feel like in theory, I've always said the same thing, and I want that too. But now that I know that your spirit kind of lives in limbo for a while to watch what happens right after, I don't know that I want to see my like family and friends down there dancing like it's the best day of their life when I just died, man.
I don't know if I'll be looking down or not. I don't know how that whole thing works or nothing. But look, are you really going to know how they're celebrating anyway?
What?
I mean, you may not even want to show up. I'm not going to be mad.
I would be late if I do.
You know why? I'm not going to be mad.
Why?
Because I'm dead.
or we can do what we did for my dad's funeral. And you came to Dayton, Ohio for Pops' funeral, right?
Had a great time.
We did not go to a funeral home. We went there. We went to the church he grew up in, and that's where the service was. And then after that, we went to a rooftop bar.
Let's go.
And we drank ourselves stupid, did we not?
Yes, we did.
So you can you don't have to get liquored up at the funeral.
Well, why go to the rooftop when you got it right here in front of you?
Right there. Just had the casket with tequila.
All right, I think we are all sort of debating right now during this time of season how to alleviate some stress. Can you even do that? Do you go in? Do you back off?
You're looking at your Christmas to-do list and you're like, what is priority at this point in time? Because look, it's December 18th. We are in crunch time. We are a week away from Christmas. That fat man is going to be squeezing his ass down your chimney any second now. All right. Like,
don't body shame Santa.
It is imminent. All right.
That ain't a bad word. He is a fat man.
He might have taken it Ozempic. He might look totally different than you.
Oh, look, Santa's on Manjaro. So my question is, as we are looking at our to-do list, right? Everybody's looking at your to-do list. What stays and what goes? Because some things are going to need to start getting cut. So I am looking at our household and our to-do list. And this year, my son is 3, about to be 4, and he is very into the Christmas spirit this year. God, this kid is so stinking cute. I can't stand it. He's fully in on the Santa thing, and he is like, he's got a Christmas program on Friday, and with the decorating and the Christmas baking, like he's in it to win it. He's loving every second, and I am loving watching Christmas through his eyes. It's really, really been a blast. So as I'm looking at Christmas Day unfold, when he gets up, we come downstairs, we do stockings, we do gifts. My husband and I don't exchange gifts. It has always been he and I planned a really nice vacation somewhere for the new year. That was our gift to each other. Wow.
Just throwing pens around.
Everybody okay?
You just launched that spork behind you.
She took a double espresso. It's 6 this morning and it's still kicking in, man.
I talk so much with my hands and people give me so much crap about it, but I can't help it. Sorry. So I was looking at our Christmas morning And I thought it would be good for Jimmy to see mom and dad exchange gifts. Because, yeah, Jimmy gets gifts from Santa, but he also gets gifts from mom and dad. So I thought...
Just curious. Sidebar.
Yeah.
Whose gifts normally are the last ones and are better? Is it mom or dad's, or does Santa get the best
gift? Mom and dad give the best gift.
They do.
The big gift. Because not everybody's household is the same, and Santa can't bring, like, the nice gifts to every house.
Gotcha.
So we do, mom and dad do the nice gift.
Santa would want it that way.
I think so.
Mom and dad deserve the credit also. For the big gifts.
So I want him to see me give Bart a gift, and I want him to see Bart give me a gift, because I want him to see his mom and dad show appreciation for each other. And then also I was like, I think it would be nice for him to learn about giving, because he's going to be doing a lot of receiving. I wanted to take him out to buy his dad gift, and I wanted Bart to take him out to buy mama a gift. Right. So he knew, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of like these little lessons of giving versus receiving, etc. But now I'm looking at my to-do list. And it would be really nice just to scrap all that.
Well, what else is on the list if you're going to make a trade here? What is on the list that, I mean, because something has to go.
Yes.
Right? So something has to go. So what's more superficial than that, that you could just blow up?
Well, see, so we're going to get all of our, we did all the baking, so we're going to get all of our cookies together and put them in the packages for the neighbors and friends and coworkers. And then I still have to wrap gifts. On top of that, we have to get ready because the day after Christmas, we're traveling to Kentucky to go see family. So I have to get all of their gifts together and manage that as well. And you just, and then also packing to go, you just start looking at the stuff and it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah, the window might have closed on one of those, because I think in everything that you just rattled off, I say the cookies for the coworkers and neighbors were the first thing I'm taking off the list.
I've already made all of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's in retrospect.
Yeah.
Why can't Jimmy pick out a present for Dada on AmazonPrime.com?
I mean, you could, but I just feel like there's something like being in a store and like picking it out.
He's going to be growing up in a different era. She's right.
Yeah.
Go, take him to TikTok shop.
I don't have TikTok.
He may never see the inside of a brick and mortar store ever in his entire life.
This is how he's going to be picking out gifts for his girlfriend or boyfriend in 15 years.
Yeah, true.
Dude, I think you got to do it. I think it's, I mean, a tradition we have with our kids is we take them to Target and they pick out a toy for another kid for Toys for Tots. And so they're learning to like pick something out that they would like to give to someone else. So maybe just do that one instead of both. Then Bart doesn't have to take him out. Only one of you does. So teach that same lesson. So it's kind of like a truncated version of it.
You know what? This is a pretty good debate, though. This is not a bad debate, though. As a three-year-old that's going to grow up.
In a digital world,
he's probably going to do most of his shopping online. So, look, your tradition is going to brick and mortar. He's not going to have that experience. So long as he's picking it out for Dada, that's the lesson, right?
It is.
And yes, it's probably going to be worse in a decade as far as going to stores. I don't think anybody's going to be going to stores by the time he can shop.
In a decade, he'll blink and the present will be there. Exactly.
But you know who's like over here freaking out is every brick and mortar and small business listening right now. Like, no! But granted, you can buy from their stuff online, right?
Just take him so that when he's old, he can be like, back in my day, we used to shop inside a store. Come on, Grandpa, let's get you to bed.
Thanks, baby.
The Burt Show.
I think as we learn about each other all the time, we are learning that Messy Mikey here, our producer, is a competitive little thing.
I'm not competitive at all.
Yes, you are. No, you literally challenged me to a liftoff.
Yeah, I won.
You challenged her. The second one was your bet with Jackson. Your hair still hasn't grown back from that one. You lost that one.
The great bull riding incident of 2024.
Oh, that one I did win.
Wait, oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't a challenge. I was just on a bull.
Suddenly it's not a challenge.
Hey, man, that's not a challenge. We're just hanging out. I don't think I'm competitive.
No? Weren't you the one that brought the game of the stump and the nails to the party?
Yeah, and I won.
But that still makes you competitive.
It's only a competition if he wins.
Oh,
embrace it, right? You're competitive.
I see. All right, so now you're going after Rebecca.
Well, look, Rebecca, she's really been getting on my nerves recently. I'm going to be honest with everybody. She's on my last nerve. Just all kinds of stuff. She's been making me do TikTok dances. She's been trying to make me, just be woke in general. I still believe she's kicked me off the website. I think that there's something going on there. I'm no longer on the website, and I think Rebecca's to charge with that.
So I'm super curious on the last thing you said. What is an area that she's trying to make you woke in that you are fighting?
I don't know. Whenever I think of Rebecca now, I just think of her saying, you can't say that.
Because, Mikey, there are some things you can't say.
Why? I got, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. But, yeah, I'm just trying to be myself, man.
Look, if you're going
to
be moving inside the perimeter, there are some words you probably eliminate from your diet.
But, look, the latest thing that she's done is she's got a big mouth about this ping pong stuff. Okay. She thinks that she can beat me.
How did this even come up in convo?
I think it's because I've famously always wanted the youth group to go to church, which is a bar in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Sister Louisa's Ping Pong Emporium. And the reason I want to go is because I love playing ping pong there.
Do I remember this correctly? And granted, it was years ago and I was buzzed, but with the name of that place, I was expecting to see a whole bunch more ping pong tables than I remember seeing.
There's like two.
Emporium is a little exaggerated.
Okay.
I think there's only one, actually.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's like upstairs because we went to go play ping pong.
Yes.
Took friends there. They got the choir robes when you walk in. And I'm like, it was like a 4-hour wait to get to the ping pong table.
When I think of Emporium, I think of like an Olympic competition where there are 20 ping pong tables and everybody's playing at the same time and there are bracketed tournaments and stuff like that. There's like two.
That's exactly what I thought I was going to walk into, and I was so disappointed. In that case, y'all, you're welcome anytime to come to Tommy's Ping Pong / Pool Table Emporium.
How many pool tables do you have?
Well, I got the ping pong table that goes on top of the pool table. So whatever works. Convert situation.
I think that's the funny part of the name of the place, is that there's only one or two ping pong tables, but it was false advertising and they can be sued.
All right. Well, what I want to get to is I've never seen Rebecca play. I don't know what her game is, but I would like to know your stats, Rebecca.
My stats?
Yeah, tell me your stats.
Well, before we go there, let's get the offensive part out the window right off the bat. So you're looking at Rebecca, who says she's good at ping pong, and you're saying, I can kick your ass. What is it about her that you're thinking, oh, she's not nearly as good as she thinks she is?
Because I'm a woman.
No, it's not because she's a woman. It's because I rig ping pong. I'm amazing at ping pong.
You're terrible.
I'm better than any man, woman, or child.
No, I think I was just big upping like my ping pong playing. Listen, when I was a kid, I took piano lessons every week. And for 2/3 of my lesson, me and my teacher would just play ping pong.
Shut up.
Literally, that's all we did. I don't know what my parents thought. So I can't play piano now, but I can play a mean game of ping pong.
Well, there just can't be any challenge without the payoff.
Well, what's your resume? What's your resume?
What's mine?
Yeah.
Club ping pong, college, GCSU, got to the finals, drank too much margaritas and lost.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up? What's up? What about it? Who wants some?
You're talking like you won in the finals.
That's a flex right there, man. Yeah, so we're going to have to think of some. I mean, if you're up for it.
I've thought long and hard about this.
Okay.
I think loser has to shave their head. No, I'm kidding. I was thinking, loser, the winner gets to write them 3 minutes of stand-up material, and they have to perform it. And it only works because we're such polar opposites. Like, she's very woke, and I'm very, I don't know what's coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. I do like this.
This is good.
And I think I got an email this morning that confirmed that we're doing something over at Dad's Garage.
In January.
Mm-hmm. So the payoff could be the first 3 minutes of this thing could be you guys doing your stand-up to lose the bet, and then we do the improv.
That sounds like a great idea.
That would be great.
Are you into that?
Well, I'm going to body him. So he's about to be the wokest boy in Alpharetta.
It's not that hard. Right.
So when is this happening?
I don't know. When's the dad's thing?
That's not till January. I just got the email this morning. January 9th, 16th, something.
I think
like
it's
that.
the 23rd.
Okay. Then let's practice up for a couple weeks. Okay. Let's go head to head, and loser has to go up there and do it to it.
All right. So how long do you guys need to prepare for your stand up, you think? Like a week?
Well, the other person is writing it, so
It's going to be on the fly. We're not going to get it until we are standing on the stage.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
That's exciting.
My stomach just did a flip. I'm so nervous.
Okay.
For you guys.
We got ourselves a bet. Well done.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.